Let's turn now in our Bibles to our New Testament reading. Once again, we are in Matthew chapter 7, continuing our study of the Sermon on the Mount. This morning, it's Matthew 7, 15 through 20, page 815 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew 7, starting at verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Congregation of Christ, we're looking at the portion of the Sermon on the Mount where our Lord Jesus makes application of this great message he's given about the life of the Christian disciple. Last Lord's Day, we looked at his first application. Our Lord implored his disciples, he commanded them to enter by the narrow gate. The disciple of Jesus is to walk on the hard road and to avoid the easy one, the one that leads to destruction. Jesus said that many travel that broad road that leads to destruction. It's easy. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way is hard. And our Lord said, those who find it are few. Well, our Lord's second application arising out of this Sermon on the Mount is this. Beware of false prophets. Specifically, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. That's what our text this morning is about. Now, I have to admit to you that this isn't a popular text for preaching. But if we're going to be faithful to the Scriptures, we can't just pick and choose what we'd like and throw out the rest. Our Lord judged it to be a very important thing to give us this warning. And so no matter how we feel about the words of our text, we need to listen carefully and to take these words to heart. People raise all kinds of objections over these words that we've just read. They don't see how these words could possibly be in the same chapter of the Bible that began with the words, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Our Lord is calling us to judge in these verses. He's telling us that we're to exercise the judgment of discernment. How can you beware of false prophets unless you can recognize one when you come across one? And our Lord guides us in identifying them. But these verses contain even more judgment in them than simply the judgment of discernment. We're called to use discerning judgment when confronted with the false prophets. But did you notice verse 19? There our Lord Jesus speaks of the final judgment, which will come on such as these false prophets. They will, in the end, be cut down and thrown into the fire, he says. Now, he doesn't tell us to cut them down and throw them into the fire, but he says that there will be that kind of judgment that will befall them. As I told you in an earlier message, this entire chapter, chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, the theme is judgment. Actually, the fact that there are people who don't particularly care for this passage of Scripture shouldn't surprise you at all. False prophets have always had a lot of popularity with the masses. It's the true prophets that most people can't endure. That's how it was in ancient Israel, and it's the same today. False prophets are nothing new. The Apostle Peter wrote in his second letter these words. He said, "There are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves." A false prophet is someone who claims to speak the word of the Lord, but what he speaks is not the word of the Lord. And if you study your Old Testament, you'll discover that the people of Israel were given a number of ways to tell whether someone was a false prophet or not. In Deuteronomy 13, Moses told the people that one way they could judge whether someone was a false prophet or not was by judging what the prophet said and comparing that with what they knew for sure that God had said. If a prophet were to arise, or if someone were to claim to have had a dream or announce a sign or a wonder, Moses says, and then that prophet who had that dream or who claimed to be a prophet said, "Let's follow other gods. Gods you haven't known, and let's worship them." Well, Moses said you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. And in fact, the law of Moses said that person must be put to death because he's preached rebellion against the Lord. You see, the test that Moses gave them was to judge any supposed revelation by the prophet or dreamer by the word that God had already given them, which they knew to be true. God said, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth other than the Lord your God." And judging by that standard, any prophet who said, "Let us follow other gods," was a false prophet. And Moses gave another test in Deuteronomy 18. You'll find it in verses 20 through 22. Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 22. Listen to what it says. "But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. You may say to yourselves, 'How can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord?' If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him." You see, first, Moses reiterates that a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods is a false prophet. But then he says that if the prophet prophesied in the name of the Lord that something would take place or come to pass, and it didn't take place or come to pass, well, then that prophet has shown himself to be a false prophet. Well, these things still apply today. How many have there been who have declared by the word of the Lord that Jesus would return on a certain date, and it didn't happen? A failed prediction made in the name of the Lord indicates that God had not spoken by that prophet, and that the prophet wasn't speaking truth from the Lord. Now, the prophet may not have been intentionally telling lies. He may have really believed what he had spoken. But whether that prophet speaks outright lies or whether they're simply the delusions of his own mind, one of the tests is that if it didn't come to pass, he's a false prophet. Now, in Jeremiah's day, there were many false prophets. In fact, when God called Jeremiah to be a prophet, he told him that people wouldn't like the things that God was going to have Jeremiah say. But God assured him. And in chapter 1, you can read these words. God says to Jeremiah, "Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. Behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials and priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." Jeremiah was given a message of judgment against Judah. And God had told Jeremiah to proclaim that armies would come against Jerusalem, bringing God's judgment on the city and on the people. But prophets arose who contradicted Jeremiah. They preached peace, peace. No harm will come to you. And the people loved what the false prophets told them. They wanted to hear smooth things rather than true things. In Jeremiah chapter 23, God describes the real difference between a true prophet and a false one. A true prophet is one who has stood in the council of the Lord, in the heavenly court, and having heard or seen what went on there, faithfully reports what he hears or sees. False prophets, on the other hand, speak delusions from their own minds. Here's the passage from Jeremiah 23, 16 to 18. This is what the Lord Almighty says. "Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, 'The Lord says, you will have peace.' And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, 'No harm will come to you.' But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word?" The true prophet was one who stood in the heavenly court. He heard what God was saying in heaven, and then he declared it. False prophets instead simply tell people what they want to hear, not what they've heard from the Lord. So the Old Testament gave the people of Israel a number of ways to discern a true prophet from a false one. But notice that when our Lord speaks in verse 15 of Matthew 7, he's not talking about someone who is easily recognizable as a false prophet. He's not speaking about someone who comes and speaks out and out heresy. Someone who does that is easily detected. No, our Lord is speaking about a very particular kind of false prophet. Not the kind that comes on you like a wolf, but the kind that comes in sheep's clothing, but is actually a hungry wolf. Now, the context of these verses helps us to understand the point that our Lord's driving home. These false prophets stand outside the narrow gate. They're there to persuade you not to enter at the narrow gate and not to walk on the hard road. And if you start listening to them, great spiritual harm will come. These false prophets have the appearance of everything that could be desired. They're nice and pleasant. They seem to say all the right things and to be thoroughly Christian. A false prophet will talk about God and say many things that are true. He'll speak of Christ and the cross. He seems to say everything that a true Christian should say. He's obviously in sheep's clothing, so you suspect that nothing's wrong. What could possibly be wrong? Well, here's the answer to that question. The problem with the teaching in these prophets is there's no straight gate in it. There's no narrow or hard road in it. What they teach may be right as far as it goes, but it's what's lacking that's the problem. A false prophet will preach about the love of God, but there are other things he'll never mention. Rarely, if ever, will he speak about holiness, righteousness, justice, judgment, or the wrath of God. The problem isn't that the things that he says are wrong. The problem is that he doesn't mention other truths which are equally taught in the Scripture. Now, this isn't something that you can discern by listening to a couple of sermons. But if the whole of what that prophet says omits such essential truths, he's leading people to destruction. John Bunyan had it right in his book, The Pilgrim's Progress, when he described Mr. Worldly Wiseman meeting the man Christian somewhere before Christian came to the wicket gate. He tried to turn him aside from the straight gate and the narrow path. And if those of you who've read that story, and I know it's been quite a few years since we studied it in Sunday school, but maybe you'll remember that after Christian went astray, the man evangelist came up to him and he met him, and Christian repented. And then evangelist warned him and said, "You must labor to abhor his effort to make the way of the cross odious to you." That's what these false prophets do. They make the way of the cross odious. They try to turn you away from the straight gate and the narrow way. That's what false prophets in sheep's clothing do. These wolves in sheep's clothing, their teaching is vague. In fact, they don't like to get particular about doctrine. They feel that doctrine divides, so you don't hear much doctrinal preaching from them. You hear platitudes. Lots of talk about the love of God. You hear morality. But there are things you won't hear about. You won't hear about things like the final judgment and the exceeding sinfulness of sin. More than likely, you won't hear about the substitutionary death of Jesus. The cross may be preached about, but not as the absolutely necessary way that sin had to be paid for. Instead, a false prophet may say that the cross was a powerful example of selfless living that should persuade us to live selflessly for others. But when he says that, he leaves out the only way that we can be saved. He leaves out all the wrath and judgment of God that was against us, that we deserved, that Christ came and died in our place so that we could be saved. The false prophet will take the easy way to church growth. Advertise. Preach a gospel which appeals to your target group. Let what your listeners want to hear be what you preach and teach about. Be slick. If they want stories, give them stories. And use the latest technology to wow people. You know, there's a whole movement known as the church growth movement. And it's been around for years. And it says that if you simply follow certain principles, growth will happen. Oh, and it's independent of doctrine. It'll work in any church. Well, brothers and sisters, if it will work in any church, if if it's independent of doctrine, what is it that's driving the growth? Is the gospel driving the growth? Or is it some other kind of growth? If doctrine and true and pointed proclamation of the gospel don't matter, what's making the church grow? Is it because people are getting their felt needs met? The cults can do that. You can fill a church with people by holding a raffle or by sensationalism. But is growing the church that way what Jesus has called us to? You see, all of that appeals to our desire to see success. And what Jesus calls his church to do, however, is not to be successful the way the world defines success. He calls his church to call sinners to repentance. And he calls his disciples to lead the lost to the narrow gate. He calls us to say things which to the natural man are unpalatable. Things which smell foul to him, like the odor of death. But to those God chooses to save, those same truths are the aroma of life. By their fruits, you will know them. It isn't that the false prophet produces no fruit. They're like corrupt trees. Diseased trees, it says in the ESV. You know, a dead tree produces no fruit. But these false prophets produce fruit which is rotten and bad. At the end of last Sunday's message, I mentioned the terrible danger in evangelism of attempting to make the gate to the kingdom seem wide and making the way seem easy. The danger is that if you present the gospel in that way, you can give the sinner a false sense of assurance. Our Lord is going to address this matter in the next section, and personally, I find the things that he says there to be some of the most frightening words in the entire New Testament. False prophets who sound like they're very Christian in their talk, but have a distaste for certain parts of the gospel which people need to hear, bear corrupt fruit. They cause sinners to abide in their sin. They make sinners believe that they've been converted when there's absolutely no evidence to back it up. There's no departing from iniquity in their lives, no break with sin. They lead men to believe that you can have Jesus as your Savior and gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven and still keep your sin. Friends, that's corrupt fruit. And false prophets always will produce that kind of fruit. Beware. Beware of false prophets. You can recognize a false prophet by his fruit. You can tell by how he labors to render the way of the cross odious. Does he truly teach repentance from sin and faith towards God? Or does he teach an easy believism, where if you simply believe certain things and give lip to them, you're in? Does he tell you that as long as you make a certain confession or have prayed a certain prayer that you're saved and nothing else matters? If your life doesn't change, if sin isn't forsaken, does he tell you not to worry? That you're still saved? That you're just a carnal Christian? That's rotten fruit. And it comes from a corrupt tree. Congregation of Christ, never forget that Jesus said there would be false prophets. False prophets who would come to you in sheep's clothing. They work to steer people away from the narrow gate. They say things that sound good and biblical and pleasing, but their fruit is rotten. May God grant us discernment that we might rightly judge a tree by its fruit and test whether the fruit is good or corrupt. And may we be aware of false prophets. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we've seen, Lord, from your word that false prophets are not new, that your Old Testament people face them as well as we do. But our Lord Jesus has made us aware, Lord, that some false prophets are so deceitful. They don't come at us like wolves, Lord. They come looking like they're part of the flock. In fact, that false prophet in the book of Revelation looks like the Lamb of God himself, but he speaks like a dragon. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us a test. Thank you for showing us that we could recognize them by their fruit. Lord, sometimes these things seem so general to us. Lord, help us to apply them to the situations that we're in. Help your Holy Spirit to make us wise and discerning. If someone simply seems to follow Jesus and calls us to follow him, but there's no forsaking of sin, Lord, we know that the fruit is bad fruit. Lord, this morning, if in our hearts we have been resting on false hopes or false assurances, Lord, if we've been the victim of false prophets, if we listen to somebody say, oh, now you prayed that prayer, don't let anybody ever tell you that you're not a Christian. But there's not been any change in our lives. Lord, free us from that deception. Lord, there's many that we may know who have fallen for that. Lord, make our repentance thorough and true. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.